Words that come against us, Barbara, and somehow tear up our lives. And God's given us a way to handle those words, hasn't he?
That's right. He's given us a wonderful warfare in him. And we can't do it outside of him, Darren. But he's given us so much. And I believe they're all built on words. And it's so true, because this word that we have before us, this living word in this Bible, is a thing that directs us and guides us and teaches us. And today we're going to talk about, we have a weapon against the enemy. And it's such a reassurance for me to know that in this day and age, when something comes against me, an enemy or somebody to torment me or to do away with me, I have words I can say against them. Praise God.
Well, we live in a word universe. And of course, Jesus is called the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. But I like to pray, and then I want to read a scripture here that will set the stage for what we're going to be teaching today. But this is awesome. This is really awesome. So Lord God, I ask that you would teach us and our listeners and our friends the concept of words that govern the whole universe. There are good words, there are bad words, there are cursed words, there are blessing words. There are words that are seeds that are planted in our heart, like seeds were planted in a garden. And Lord, there are vicious words that come against us that tend to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord, we are not defenseless.
That's right.
And I thank you, Father God, that you provided things where we can knock those words down. They can become lifeless, and we don't have to go on living a lifestyle of torment. Thank you, Father. We cover this teaching with the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I want to read Isaiah 54:17 as a platform.
I'd like to go, well, you read 17, and then I want to go about five or six verses before that and read to Isaiah 54:17. It's going to tell us a little bit about the situation in which this man can come against these weapons.
Okay, you go ahead and read yours first.
Okay. It says, O afflicted one, and that's somebody who's been tormented by words, who's been threatened by the enemy. We feel afflicted. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted. And I'm reading from Isaiah 54:11. Behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. That means God's going to do it miraculously and wondrously. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones, and all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, and this is in words a lot of times, Darren, I find out that people can assail us fiercely just with words. You will not be, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. And you're going to read words in these next verses that say we can do something against this. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. I have created the destroyer to ruin.
Well, you mentioned here that these things come against us packaged in words. Now, spirits actually crawl into words, motivate words, wrap words that come against us to hurt us, to cause us to be depressed, oppressed, to run, to be intimidated. In fact, we'll be talking some today about a Jezebel spirit that is a master using words against us to intimidate us, to manipulate us, to bring a scourge against us, against our personalities, against our mindset, and to really throw us into disarray so that we don't, you know, we're not able to be organized. We're not able to be focused, and those words come against us to really hurt us.
Or effective right. in what we're doing, yes.
Now, John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he actually comes against you with words. In fact, if you end up with a disease, it started with a word. It started with a concept. It started with a name. But I've got good news to tell you that the name of Jesus is above every name and every word. We read now in Isaiah 54:17, and this is almost the basis for which this teaching is really foundation. It's foundational to the teaching. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now you think about all the weapons now, and we'll show you how the devil packages those in words. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Now, that vindication isn't going to come necessarily from a court, or it's not going to come from a, let's say that somebody takes a poll and you come out looking pretty good, or they take a vote and you get a majority vote of confidence. That's not what we're looking at here. It says again, I want to read this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their vindication is from me, declares the Lord.
Yes, and I looked up the word vindicate, Darren, and it means to avenge or to lay claim to deliver from wrong suffered. And God has that responsibility. We don't. He does. But as we use these words against our enemy, God is going to come and do it for us.
Now, you really need to have, if you're going to get into spiritual battle, which you're already in, I mean, all of us are, we're being assaulted by the enemy because he comes day and night to accuse us. And he comes day and night to try to destroy us. You need to have a pure heart and a pure conscience if you're going to do really viable spiritual warfare. If you're going to take the authority that God has given you and go after the enemy, you have to have a pure heart. And Jesus said, the enemy comes, but he has nothing in me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no landing strip there for him to operate from. And he will do that. If, for example, you have not made something right with a friend, say at your church or at your business, maybe you need to make that phone call and ask forgiveness and get that straightened out. Or otherwise, you leave a doorway open for the enemy to come in and do a number on you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be reading here about Hezekiah.
Yes, I was just going to say, and you're going to be reading from, I believe, 2 Kings, but
right.
I found in 2 Chronicles 31 the same story, and it is also in Isaiah 36. This story is so important that it appears three times in the Bible. It says here that Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God, and every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. And this is why he could do what he did. He knew there was no sin between him and God.
Well, let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. And that's the scripture. In fact, I've signed a lot of letters in recent years with this scripture. In fact, the second part of 2 Chronicles 16:9 is the part I want you to get. And this is a very, very important one. Let's see here if I can find 2 Chronicles 16:9. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. It'll help me to get in the right one. Here it is. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the first part of that verse, and I love that. I've signed a lot of letters with 2 Chronicles 16:9 because, and God knows that we're going to have warfare against us,
mm-hmm.
but he can work with a pure heart, and a pure heart has pure motives. A pure heart has no unresolved, unrepentant sin hanging around.
That's right.
And when you go into this battle here and you really want an answer to your prayers, you need to get on your face before God and say, Father God, is there anything between me and you? If there is, Holy Spirit, show me now. And you need to have a deal cut with God. And I'm going to tell you, I cut a deal with God several years ago and it pays off. And the deal goes like this. Father God, if you show me anything wrong in my heart, I will immediately repent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go window shopping. I'm not going to look for a consensus among my friends. I did that one time. I went around, kind of took a poll, and God really got after me. He said, I didn't call you to run your life by consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can get counsel. That's a different thing. But when I give you something, I want you to do it. Well, the deal I made with the Lord was, if there's something between me and you, in other words, there's some unconfessed sin or something out of line in my life, if you show that to me, I will immediately repent. I won't go back, as some say, well, is there anybody else up there so give me a second opinion? I just say, okay, I'll go with that. Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I want to get that out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hezekiah was a man that was living clean before the Lord, right?
That's right.
Do you have something else you want to say on that?
I was going to say, as you were talking about being pure before the Lord, in this scripture, in Isaiah 54:17, every tongue that accuses you in judgment, sometimes, Darren, those situations are so horrible. They are, and sometimes it's family members where it's very sensitive issues. And so we become angry and bitter and resentful. And we must make sure also that we have forgiven in every area. And that's very important, to let God go and do his work. We cannot desire to return evil for evil. But we must desire that God helps this person to see the light, or helps this whatever is coming against us to see the light and to repent and turn from their wicked ways. That's our ultimate goal, is not for them to go to hell. And I know sometimes their situation, which I just hope they go to hell. I mean, it's just so horrible, and they've hurt you so deeply. And we must recognize that...
Or you've told them to go there in so many words.
Yes.
And of course, we Christians,